Thanks, Alan. So we've been looking at this section of Mark's Gospel, looking at the identity of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and we saw last week the preaching authority that Jesus had. He preaches the Word of God because he is the Word of God, and it was this idea of this new authority that people were hearing for the first time because it's coming straight from the identity of Jesus as God. We also saw that he had authority over the created world and the supernatural world with the casting out of the demon. And Mark is continuing in his first chapter this really series of events that establish the identity of Jesus, which gives us the authority of Jesus. He's desperate to prove to us that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore has all this authority. And this time we're looking at another aspect, another incident, which gives us another facet to the identity of Jesus, which is this healing story of Simon's mother-in-law. Now, there's many healing stories in Scripture, and they all follow a standard pattern. So Jesus hears that someone is ill, Jesus expresses concern or compassion, and then through something heals that person, either by touch or even by distance in some cases, and then the person is healed, and then the person does something that only a healed person could do to prove to everyone that they are now in fact healed. And this is, of course, exactly the same story. After the recovery here, the lady goes and serves the men, and obviously only a healthy person could then carry out hospitality serving. There's a very uncharitable interpretation of this story in that when they get back to the house, Simon realizes his mother's ill, she can't serve the food. He thinks, I'm not doing that, that's woman's work. Jesus, get up there and sort her out because I ain't doing it. But I don't really think that interpretation fits what I understand of the character of Jesus, so I would encourage you not to go down that line. Now, healing is something that we all have a vague understanding of. Even though we're not doctors, we all have an understanding of how we get ill and how healing works. So we read all these New Testament healings with our worldview, with our understanding, post-Enlightenment rational worldview. We know that you get ill through a number of ways. There's bacterial infections, there's viral infections, there's things that can go wrong in our body. And so when we read this parable, we're reading it with our modern take on it, and that makes it a little bit more challenging for us. We hear Simon's mother-in-law had a fever. Well, we know fever is not an illness. We know fever is a response to illness. It's the body's immune system fighting off an infection that causes the fever. So we're thinking already, Mark, what are you talking about? Fever is not an illness. Fever is a symptom of illness. She's contracted something, and that's what's going on. And already we're on the back foot with this account because we're thinking this is different from what we're used to. We're thinking this is a medical matter. We're thinking this is a question of medicine, which raises a really difficult theological point. If Jesus can heal, why doesn't he heal everyone? If, like me, you have prayed for healing and the person hasn't got better, what do we do with that? We are told in this account that he heals many, but there's still illness in Palestine at the time of Jesus. There's still illness in Palestine today. There's still illness in the world today. Why, when we pray for healing, does healing not happen? And that raises a difficult theological question. And for every story I'm told of someone who prayed and they got miraculously better, I can tell you 9 stories where that didn't happen. So I am really, really delicate when it comes to the healing miracle stories, okay? But what if this isn't about medical matters? What if this is about something far deeper? What if this is about something theological? And that's what I believe the healing stories in Mark tells us about. Mark's audience don't have the same understanding, the same worldview, okay? So as far as they're concerned, it doesn't really matter what's going on here. Illness is something they deal with. What's the source of illness? And again, we need to look at their worldview like we did last week to understand where they're coming from and why I believe this is theological rather than medical. They believed illness was judgment from God for some transgression. Now, there's many, many references in Hebrew Scripture of blessings that flow from doing God's will and curses that follow from not doing God's will. So today, if we get something, is there a disease I can use as an example that we're all familiar with? COVID. If we get COVID, we think it was probably that time the person behind me in the bus coughed on me, or the time I went to the buffet and the person in front of me sneezed on it, all right? So we tend not to think, and I don't think we should think, that if we're ill, it's God's punishment for some transgression, okay? They don't have this view. They think differently. Now, I personally would like to think God has got better things to do than watch me 24/7 with flu ready to smite me for the one time I then slip up that day. I don't believe that. I don't think ailments are dished out by God on a cosmic scale, depending on how bad we are. But they did. Now, I know you're all familiar with Scripture. I know you all read the Bible diligently in the steeple. I know I'm preaching to the converted now. But if you read Deuteronomy 28, as you're all familiar with, you're all going, yeah, we knew you were going there. There's a list of blessings for obedience and warnings for disobedience. And this is what it says, 28:15, in case you think I'm making this up. But if you will not obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments and decrees, which I am commanding you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then we get this list of all these dreadful things that can happen. 22, the Lord will afflict you with consumption, fever, inflammation, fiery heat and drought, blight and mildew. I didn't know you could get mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. That's not how we understand illness, but that's how they understood it. So we have these people who believe that if you are ill, it's God who has afflicted you, who has punished you for some reason. And given the state of medicine back then, how many people die in that time from what we would take 2 paracetamol for? Really genuine, when you fell ill in this time, it really was up to God, as far as you were concerned, because you would either live or you would die. You would get some bacteria, you would get some virus, you would get a fever, you'd get very ill, and nobody can do anything except pray because they believe God has caused this, so God can cure this. And that's the point I believe Mark's trying to make. You believe God has the power of life and death. You believe God has the power of health and illness. You believe that if you are ill, it's God's judgment. Therefore, if you are cured, it has to be God's blessing. Good health is a sign that you have been blessed by God. Poor health is a sign you are cursed by God. So, poor woman lying in bed with a fever, very unwell. God has punished her for some reason. So if God is the source of illness, who is the source of curing? It's God. So for the original readers of Mark, when they hear the story of Jesus healing this woman, they're not thinking it's medical. They're not thinking it's pharmaceutical. They're thinking it's theological. They're thinking, if only God has the power to smite, only God has the power to heal. Therefore, this man, Jesus, is who Mark claims he is, the Son of God. And I believe that is the point. What we're seeing is Mark's declaration, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come amongst us to spread God's kingdom here on earth. And what we're seeing is in God's kingdom, certain things cannot exist. Evil spirits last week, they're cast out. Healing is another demonstration of what happens when God's kingdom comes. Disease, illness, and death are no more and cannot exist in God's good creation. And that's what I believe Mark is telling us. For those around the bedside, they are seeing God cast out illness because God is the author of illness. And I believe it has to be, otherwise word wouldn't have gotten around so fast. Jesus heals this woman and all of a sudden, God has appeared here in Capernaum. And by sundown, Mark says, the whole city is gathered at the door. Capernaum's not that big, but even allowing for artistic license, we're talking about hundreds of people clamoring because they have now witnessed God's presence amongst them. Many want to be healed, many want their demons cast out, and Mark again comes back to the strange, bizarre thing about Jesus wanting secrecy over his identity, which we'll deal with later in the year. The crowd must disperse. Early in the morning, Jesus disappears to the remote countryside. And Mark tells us that Simon and the rest were hunting for him. They say, everyone is looking for you. Now, we don't know who. Is this Capernaum people wanting more healing, more teaching? I don't know. But what you have to remember is we have witnessed in the last incident in Capernaum a man who has demonstrated the authority of God in his preaching, the authority of God in his casting out of an evil spirit, however you want to determine that, and in casting out illness. So here's the question. Why doesn't Jesus return to Capernaum and set up shop as a holy man, healer, teacher? Why doesn't he set up a healing facility, a clinic in Capernaum, and heal everyone? Why doesn't he turn up every Sabbath in the synagogue and preach a brilliant sermon that really tells people who God is? I mean, they've seen him do these amazing things. They're clamoring for him. Why doesn't he go? He could have seen out his days in comfort. He'd have been adored. He'd have had this great ministry, but he refuses. He says, I must go to the neighboring towns to spread the message, for that is why I have come. And to me, that is the clue here. Jesus hasn't come to teach. He hasn't come to cast out evil spirits. He hasn't come to heal people. He has come to proclaim the reality of the kingdom of God and to witness to that. He has come to spread the good news that God loves us, God cares for us, God has not forgotten about us, and has come in person to show us how life is meant to be and how life is going to be. He could have healed everyone, and yet, proportionally, he heals hardly anyone. So healing isn't the main part of Christ's ministry. He's come to teach us the meaning of Scripture. Again, he could have spent every Sabbath in the synagogue doing that. He doesn't. It's incidental. He has come to proclaim God's kingdom. He has come to witness to the reality of God's time on earth. And all these other things are incidental. He's come to reveal who God is, to show us who God is, and to bring about God's kingdom on how life is meant to be. He's not indifferent and uncaring to suffering, because we're told time and time again, when people come to him who are suffering, he is moved with compassion, and he can't help himself but heal it. He has come primarily, however, to bring about God's reign on earth, and that is what he's going to do. He's proclaimed the kingdom has arrived in Capernaum. He's revealed it through his teaching and through his miracles, and now he's going on to the next place to continue in that mission, to spread God's kingdom. As far as Jesus is concerned, the people in Capernaum now know God's kingdom is real and it's here. And now he needs to go on and spread that message. So rather than take the easy road, go back to Capernaum, be feted in celebrity, he continues on his mission, spreading the good news that God has now acted and God's kingdom is now here. And as we see in Mark's gospel, Jesus is never standing still. Jesus is always on the move. Immediately he goes here, suddenly he goes there, then he goes there, because that's what he's here to do. Not to teach, not to heal, but to proclaim the reality of God's present kingdom amongst us. As his church, as his followers, that's supposed to be our pattern too. We're not supposed to be static. We're not supposed to be restricted. We're supposed to be out there spreading the good news of God's kingdom. We too, as a church, cannot remain locked up in our buildings, but be out there in the world spreading God's message. Because that's the response to seeing God. Simon's mother-in-law gives us this example. Jesus heals her. Now she's ill, and then all of a sudden she's not ill. She's healthy. Her response is service. First thing she does, she serves. Jesus didn't heal her on the understanding that she would do that. It was not there in Mark's account. But Jesus, in healing her, has given her a glimpse of his divinity. And that is enough for her to respond in loving service. She understands who he is and uses her gifts that she has, which is hospitality, to serve God in response to what God has done for her. It's the same for us. We struggle with illness, we struggle with weakness, we struggle with disease, we struggle with all sorts of things. But we see this glimpse of divinity in Jesus. We see this glimpse of how life is meant to be in the community Christ has created. And our response should also be to serve. Which brings us on to this idea of how do we heal? Because if we're praying for healing and people aren't being healed, then what is the point? Well, the point is this. In the kingdom of God, illness, disease, and death are no more. They cannot exist in God's kingdom. So if we are not gifted at healing, we are gifted in some other way at spreading the kingdom. And when we advance the kingdom, we drive out illness, disease, or death. Our course of action is clear then. We pray for healing, absolutely. And if you struggle with that, that's fine, I get it. But if we are working to advance the kingdom, we're working as healers, because illness, disease, and death have no place in the kingdom of God. And for me, this is the main point that Mark is making. Jesus, God flesh, who came amongst us to show us the way back, who has authority over all things on heaven and on earth, including our bodies. Through his healing, we see his nature as divine. And we see in the kingdom of God, illness, disease, and death have no place and cannot exist. So if we struggle with healing, if we struggle with healing miracles, it's okay. It's okay to struggle with them. But you need to know this. Illness, disease, and death cannot exist in the kingdom of God. So if you spread the kingdom, you drive out disease and death. You heal in that way. And because Jesus has shown us who he is, because we see in him divinity, our response should also then be like Simon's mother-in-law, to serve. It doesn't matter what your gifts are. It doesn't matter what your graces are. Catering was her portfolio. You might feel that's not your portfolio. No one ever wants to get in the way of the catering committee in the church. I fully understand that. But the point is, she's healed, she's seen God, and her response immediately is to exercise her gifts in service of the Lord, to be in the service of the one who has made her well. Do we do that? Is that how we see Jesus? Do we see him as God, birthing God's kingdom and bringing God's kingdom with him? Are we as committed to growing the kingdom, helping the work of Christ that he started as his church in this place by spreading the kingdom until its final culmination when Jesus returns and everyone sees how it's meant to be? Are we serving the Lord with what we have, tending to the sick, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, and bringing in the outcast? Are we acknowledging that Christ has this capacity in spreading the kingdom to drive out illness, disease, and death? And are we allowing Christ's healing to work in us? You may still be ill, but you can be healed through Christ's grace, through Christ's touch, through Christ's compassion. Will we be the healers of this world by working to spread God's kingdom wherever we are, however we can? I pray that we have the strength through God's Spirit to do so, and that we will respond to the healing work of Christ with loving service. Amen.